This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WH employee. This week we talk about our time down under before getting extensive news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. X, it's only right that we talk about our fantastic trip to Australia. On reflection, how much did you enjoy our time down under?
Oh, mate, it was brilliant. I can't put into words how good it was. Like, it was just superb. Everything about it, you know, the people, the friends that we made through, through meeting people out there. The event was, both events were amazing. Seeing West Ham out there with all the passionate Australian fans, and Perth is just a great city. I would love to move my family out there if circumstances were different. So yeah. Amazing time, mate. Like, I miss it a lot now that we're back, and would love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, you're right. What a place to live. And our trip to Perth obviously started with the flight, the long flight, and it's one that I was absolutely dreading, because even when we do our European trips, my height is a problem. And if I don't have leg room, then I'm banging trouble. Now, obviously, you get a little bit more leg room when you go on a long haul flight like that. But the biggest problem I've got is people tend to sleep on a plane when you're on a 17-hour flight. But at home, I can't sleep on my back. I never do. I always sleep on my side. And we'll come to that a little bit later, because I got unstuck with that strategic way of trying to sleep. But going into it, I thought, I will try and get some sleep. Tried and failed miserably. I was sitting behind you and Mad Dog. So we both had aisle seats. I was behind you. Mad Dog was in the middle next to you.
Not going to lie. That was a terrifying prospect when that fell upon my hands. I thought he was on the other side of the plane, because I put the seats. But I think they were trying to do us an inverted commas favour by putting our party together. So when I went to go my seat and Martin Adam was sat in the one next to me, I thought, oh my God. 17 hours, but to be fair, he did behave himself.
Well, he did. I think he was too engrossed in Candy Crush on the plane, yeah, to be honest with you. And, yeah. So having sitting behind you, I had view of what he was watching, and he spent so much time on a game called Bejeweled, and he put in a couple of complaints that at times it froze and stopped working, because he loves that game, doesn't he? It's like the first time Monkey discovered a flame, you know what I mean? Watching him work with Bejeweled was a fascinating study. It really was. And as much as I enjoyed watching that, I personally got quite bored quite quickly. And there's only so many films you can watch. The selection of films weren't great on the plane either, I don't think. So the flight attendant started walking around and giving out some drinks. Some were having water. And I noticed a few people were having some JD, but they wasn't putting a card back to pay for it. So I thought, hang on a minute, I think these drinks might be free, because I didn't know going into it. So I'm watching all these people. No one's paying. And then she's come around, because I made the conscious decision that I wasn't going to drink on the plane. I don't typically, X, do I? To be fair, when we go European travelling, I don't tend to drink on the plane, do all my drinking on the ground.
Yeah.
But when she came around, she said, would you like a drink, sir? I said, yeah, I'll have a JD and Coke, please. And she gave it to me. I said, you don't have to pay for these, no? She said, no. And then that was the birth of my new nickname given to me by Mad Dog. And I absolutely adore this nickname, because what happened was, I then went on to drink and drink and drink and drink and drink in the genuine hope that eventually I might just crash out and sleep. But I had 36 JD and Cokes on this 17-hour flight, right? And Mad Dog,
that would kill me, I think. I mean, even 18 would kill me, let alone 36.
but I don't think you were in too much of a shock, because you know what I'm like, but I think Mad Dog was absolutely gasped. Now, the thing is, because it's free, you can't take the piss. So I can't keep going up saying, can I have another JD? Can I have another JD? Can I have another JD? So we had a little system in place, didn't we? You was ordering two, Mad Dog was ordering two, and I was ordering two. And then when they weren't looking, you were giving six to me, and I was smashing them back. Mad Dog, I you weren't shocked by it at all, I don't think, but Mad Dog couldn't believe it. And he said, is he having another one? Is he having another one? How much JD has he had? That's got to be the 14th he's had. That's got to be the 25th. He's starting to keep count. And on the back of it, his nickname for me was JD Qantas. I love it, because it sounds like a Miami detective, doesn't it? Like,
it does.
Got a bunch of questions I need you to answer. But JD obviously being Jack Daniels, and Qantas being the name of the airline, but JD Qantas. So if anyone hears him refer to me as JD or JD Qantas on any of our shows moving forward, you'll know why.
Well, we were playing that game, like, you know that you do at a wedding where it's something like how long before the groom mentions this, or how long till the best man does that? We were playing a bet, like how many you could get up to, and he reckoned 20 and I reckoned 40. So I actually
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my closest, because obviously 36 is closer to 40. I won the bet. So happy days. I actually think you would have kept going. I think you would have gone 50, 60, 70, but it's just that obviously we only had 17 hours. I think if it had been a 25-hour flight, you could have been approaching 100 by the end of it.
Well, the concerning thing about it is, and I'm sure you can verify this, I wasn't even pissed after it.
Because your blood is 50% alcohol anyway. I think it's just like, you know, like most people need oxygen and things like that. You actually need alcohol to keep you alive. Like, you know, if you ever went into hospital, they'd be pumping your heart whilst pouring JD down your throat.
Yeah, you imagine the old emergency team crashing through the wall. Right, JD pump, JD pump. We're losing him. JD pump now.
Exactly.
Oh, that is absolutely brilliant. But I'll tell you one thing that makes me laugh and cringe at the same time is whilst we was having a bit of banter in a run-up to going to Australia, I was being serious, really, with some of the concerns I had over some of the animals we were discussing, right? And some of the Australians that we were speaking to, or even the expats at some of the events and people that we met out and about, were saying it was so funny listening to you two talk about all your concerns. Is it because we don't have any of that here? And it's also funny because in the run-up, a lot of Patreons were saying, oh, you want to watch out for this? And they were jumping on it, trying to wind us up. And genuinely, you know, I just feel like an idiot, because I didn't see so much as a money spider when I was there. But I go back to that first day we checked in at that hotel. Honestly, mate, I turned the whole room upside down, looking for huntsman spiders, snakes, you name it. Fucking drop bears, and we'll come to that in a minute. I was proper stressed out. Even though I was on the 19th floor, I was convinced that there were going to be some nasties. And now when I actually think about what you don't have to worry about in Perth, it's a bit embarrassing, really. But talking of drop bears, I mean, oh, you had me with that one, didn't you? Some sort of koala bear that I bought into. Show me a picture. If you're listening to this show, you have to Google drop bears, right? And this is what X showed me. And I thought, Jesus Christ, I hadn't even thought about them. And of course, you had some fun with that, didn't you?
Oh, it was brilliant. Because quick shout out to Ryan Kent, I think his name is, the fella that organised the Tottenham versus West Ham charity match.
King, I think it's Ryan King.
Is it King? Okay, yeah. Raised a lot of money for, yeah, he's King, you're right. Raised a lot of money for DT38 charity. And we met up with him a couple of times, came to the events. a top lad. And if I, he told me about drop bears, and I was like, what the hell are they? So I googled them. Now if you, if someone does the exact same thing now, put drop bears, literally drop bears, two words, into Google, go images. Now it's the third image on there, which is this, like, I can't even describe it, like koala bear, but with, like, vicious mouth and horrible, like, wet fur and stuff. I convinced Dave on the plane that drop bears were a real thing, and I made up a bit of a story to go with them. Like, whenever you walked under a tree and there was one up there, particularly if it had young and it was, you know, trying to protect its babies and stuff, it would launch itself from the tree and start just gouging at your face, like putting your eyes, trying to bite your nose off, ripping your ears off and stuff.
Yeah, I was shitting myself. Mad dog was as well. He bought into it.
Yeah. So every time we walked past the tree, I was like, shit, mate, let's just be a bit careful here. And then annoyingly, the only thing Matt Muir, who was an absolute godsend to our trip, diamond fella, who took us around to various places in Perth, because he was so rightfully proud of his hometown and where I won the basketball competition at his house and so on.
Yeah. Just had to drop that as in. Well, by the way.
No, we won't. that's in the history books now, undisputed. But the only thing he did to let me down was that he told you that they weren't real. And then from that point, I had to admit I've been making it up. But funny.
Yeah, it was funny, actually. And talking of Matt, you're quite right. He was a godsend. And, you know, he's someone that does a job that's quite flexible. So he made quite a lot of time for us during that week. And the reason he was such a godsend is, firstly, what a top fella. You know, we arrived in Perth as strangers to Matt and left as friends, unquestionably. Mm-hmm. And in Perth, a lot of the things that you would like to see is not accessible via public transport. So Matt saw to it that everything that was worth seeing, pretty much, we saw, thanks to Matt, and we spent some quality time with him. We really did. And one of the first things that we saw, which was quite surreal, really, was Matt said to us when he picked us up, he said, I know it sounds a bit strange, but do you fancy going to this really nice cemetery? And in my mind, I'm thinking, fucking hell, it's not on my bucket list. And this type of conversation, he said, let me explain why. He said, because there's a lot of kangaroos that hang out there. So I said, really? I said, what's the chance of seeing one then? He said, pretty good, I'd say. So we parked up in this car park and we're just taking a couple of steps onto the greenery, which is next to where people are buried. So it's a separate part of the cemetery. And next, it was unbelievable. I think a lot of people have seen the footage. It's about 15 to 20 kangaroos bouncing around, wasn't there? How amazing to see them in a natural habitat like that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think I have to correct everyone on this because I've had a few Australians take a point with us calling them kangaroos. Apparently, they were actually wallabies.
Is that right?
Not kangaroos. I mean, the difference between wallabies and kangaroos is that apparently wallabies only go to about 3 feet tall, whereas kangaroos are a lot bigger. They can go to 8 feet tall. And so looking at the size of them, they probably were wallabies, but either or, it was an absolutely amazing experience just to see them in, like you said, in their natural habitat. And then we went for a little swamp walk towards the end of the trip, and there was, you know, signs warning us of dangerous snakes and stuff, so we did tread on the tips of Australian wildlife whilst we were out there. And it was great to see them in their natural habitat, like you said.
No, it's beautiful. And talking of beauty, we saw some stunning beaches as well, didn't we? And
amazing to
recount what beaches we actually went to. I think it was Cottesloe, Mullaloo and Scarborough. My personal favourite was Mullaloo, actually. I thought that was just absolutely stunning. And I think that's the one that we posted on Patreon. I thought that was gorgeous. And Scarborough was brilliant because it was pretty built up and, you know, some decent restaurants and bars. And I like you said, what a place to grow up. I mean, to have this sort of beach on your doorstep, you know, it's a bit different to Southend and Cavey Island for us, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'd love to say there's some similarities, but there isn't really.
No.
But absolutely beautiful. And then we went on to King's Park as well, which is an unbelievable place. And it's quite funny because, you know, Mad Dog wanted to film a little bit of content in some of the bushes. And my first thought was, fuck that. Because I'm in my mind, I still think like every 2 yards is riddled with all these different nightmarish creatures that are going to come up and absolutely murder you, sort of thing. So when he came up with that idea, I'm thinking, blimey, he's brave. So again, I think you've seen the video on Patreon where X is scanning around talking about different wildlife that's in this bush, and suddenly Mad Dog's head pops up and, you know, it's quite a funny bit of content. But what was also quite funny, I don't even know if you knew this, X, but Matt said when Mad Dog's jumping around all this bush like a kangaroo, he said, it's good content. He said, illegal, but good content. I said, what do you mean legal? He said, that's protected land. He said, you're not allowed on that. You've got to stick to the paths. I glanced at Mad Dog and he's bouncing man all over it like a fucking wallaby on acid, he was.
yeah.
And thankfully, there was nothing in there too poisonous. But do you know what? We talk about Mad Dog, and I'm sure you'll agree, because he made the trip as well. I mean, we didn't stop laughing from start to finish. It was absolutely superb. But I've got to say, I think everyone knows the story as to why he's called Mad Dog. But if you don't, I think it was in the 90s, we had a kind of little bit of a streak of rabid dogs being an issue in this country. And it was making the main sort of headlines and tabloid press, etc. Beware of the dogs, these mad dogs, and, you know, they carry rabies, etc. And in the height of this, it was a game, a West Ham game, and Mad Dog was getting stuck in on tackles, and he was steaming into everyone, and he was well up for it, and he was literally foaming at the mouth. And at that point, Ian Bishop said to him, you know, blimey, Mark, you're like one of those Mad Dogs. And so the name stuck, right? So that's the official story as to why he's called Mad Dog. I don't think that's actually the case, right? I think he's called Mad Dog because the man just don't stop pissing.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I've never seen someone piss so much in my life. It's literally incredible. It's like letting a dog off a lead. You know, sometimes if you've got a dog, and I don't know if you've ever seen, especially boy dogs, I think, they're cocking their leg at every corner, pissing, another 5 yards, pissing. And I look at my dog sometimes, I think, where are you storing all this piss?
Yeah. Like, mate. Yeah.
And that's the same with Mad Dog. And I mean, you know, we've gone to that cemetery and there are memorials around, and you've looked, and then suddenly Mad Dog's pissing up a tree. And you talk about that swamp that we visited. I mean, I don't think you're doing it too much justice, because it was actually one of the most beautiful nature reserves I've ever seen. I mean, it was absolutely stunning, absolutely stunning. And rightfully so, Matt was very proud of that place. So we're walking around, and we found a little kind of jetty, if you like, almost like a mini decking area. And we've taken a real moment to pause. And I think it was around sunset as well. And it was a real appreciation of the beauty in front of us. And I said to Matt, I said, I'll tell you what, mate, you're so lucky, Olivia. I said, look at this. This is absolutely beautiful. And then what could only be described as a power hose hitting the decking rang into our ears. And we've turned around and Mad Dog's pissing all over that. And even Matt at that point was like, fucking hell, mate. So he's done that. And then we carried on walking and we're laughing about it secretly. And again, we're saying, oh, look at this bit, and it's nice. Oh, wow, look at, you know, what an amazing type of flower that is, you know. And look at these this bit of wildlife here, and don't the birds sound differently over here? And out of nowhere, Mad Dog pipes up and says, right, I need a shit. what? He said, I need a shit. I said, mate, there ain't any toilets here. He said, I don't care, I need a shit. I've got to go. And when you've got to go, you've got to go. And Matt's like, well, look, there's a pub 5 minutes. He said, nope. I need a shit now. And he's literally gone into this swamp and had a shit and used a handkerchief to wipe his own ass. And he's just like, he's a fucking liability, Mad Dog. An absolute liability.
And that's not to mention all the sort of the comments he makes to people that are walking past. He's not shy of making a joke or a flirty comment or a observation, no. Is he?
not at all. He is good value, but you've got to... Play on your toes, because you never know what you get with him, Mad Dog. But we did have a laugh with him. He was brilliant and he was superb at the events as well. But
yeah,
you know,
brilliant.
You talk about the Perth City Centre X. I mean, what a lovely place that is. I didn't know it was called the City of Light until you told me. And that was beautiful. And obviously our first taste of Australian cuisine, should we say, which again, the videos are there to see on Patreon. But for those that aren't Patreons, you know, that was an experience as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, we tried everything, didn't we? Crocodile, emu, camel. And at the time we contested whether a camel was an Australian delicacy or camel was an Australian animal. But apparently they have a whole host of camels. Every time we made an inaccurate comment about Australia, there was someone there to point it out to us. So apparently, camels are in an abundance in Australia. But yeah, we ate all 5, 6 or whatever it was. And I think to be fair, they were probably a bit overdone. I think according to the Australian experts out there, they did look overdone and we felt they were overdone. But it was an experience to try some of those. Crocodile was like a sort of fishy chicken, if that makes sense. And some strange tasting things, but did that on the first day. So talk about throwing yourself straight into the into the culture, so to speak. Although I don't know if that is the culture, to be fair. I think that's just something that they do as a niche thing rather than a common thing.
Yeah, I think you're right, to be honest. But still, a good box ticked. And talking of boxes ticked, you know, you took us to an Aussie Rules match as well.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
I'm pleased I've done it. But I think, you know, I think the crossover is, and I don't know if you agree with this, I think you quite like your rugby. You absolutely obsess over your NFL. Mm. I detest both sports. So I think the concept of Aussie Rules isn't a million miles away from those sports. So I think it was always going to be a bit of a challenge for me to get into it. Mad Dog was the same. Try we did. But what was your thoughts of Aussie Rules? Because obviously, again, it's a nice box tick to say you've been to Australia and seen a game, and the Australians are very passionate about it. But did it live up to what you wanted it to be?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, obviously, I was conscious that you and Martin didn't, so that was playing on my mind a bit. But if you two had been there, I think I would have really enjoyed it. And I wouldn't say I particularly knew what was going on half the time. I mean, by the end of our time at the match, I've sort of worked out the basics, I think, but the actual intricacies of the game I wouldn't have a clue, but it was certainly worth watching. And obviously the time difference is going to mean I'm probably never going to watch it on TV, but if it comes to it, I would watch it. And I think I would call, even though they got battered at the game we went to, I would call the Eagles, the Western Coast Eagles, my team now. I've seen them at their home ground, like the colours, like their badge. So yeah, I think they'll be my team. But whether I'll actually ever watch the sport again, I don't know, but I can see why Australians like it, definitely.
I mean, it is full on in terms of, you know, there's some proper lumps playing it, and they do steam into each other. I mean, someone broke their wrist, didn't they?
Well, I think it was their whole arm.
Was it?
In about three places, yeah.
Jesus Christ. And even our very own Theo, who contributes to the Patreon site, who we spent a bit of time with out there, he was playing it on an amateur level, wasn't he? And he yeah. tore his ACL. I mean, it's a serious sport. And we were saying the pitch...
To be fair, he was tackled by a goalpost, so it's...
All right, I wasn't going to take that glamour away from him. But you killed him there. You absolutely killed him.
No disrespect, Theo. Top fellow. Another quality addition. And had he not been at the events, particularly that first one, I'd have been banging trouble. So thanks for all his help. But yeah, I think slightly different injury on that one.
I mean, we're not really doing it justice because you should have seen the goalpost.
Oh, exactly. Goalpost was bent like Leaning Tower of Pisa. He likes the game as well.
Yeah, I tell you, you've got to be physically fit to play that because it's a long game as well, but the pitch is massive, and it's one of those sports you just don't stop running. And you know what didn't help really is that I didn't understand the rules. So you know, I think if you can go some way to understand the rules, that might help towards your enjoyment of it. So yeah, it wasn't the best experience in terms of enjoyment of the sport, but I am pleased that we did it. And you know, talking about enjoyment, we come to the first event, the pre-match event, and I mean, that was just fantastic. Anyway, do you think now, to have that amount of people there at both events was quite incredible, really. And most of, if not all of them, listened to this podcast. And it was just so beautiful to interact with people that, unless West Ham went to Perth, we probably would never, ever interact with in our lives. So there was something so special about the event, the people that were there, the venue, doing it in an outdoor venue was absolutely fantastic. And, it was just brilliant, wasn't it? That's as I thought, but obviously... And the other side of the venue, you was having a little bit of stress.
Yeah, I mean, to credit to the supporters groups and the Perth supporters group particularly, and the main man in that who helped decorate the venue, helped get us the venue, and shout out to obviously the Melbourne Hammers, Brisbane Hammers, Adelaide Hammers, all of those groups that were Sydney, all the groups that we had there. We had some Kiwis, we had some Tasmanian people as well. So massive shout out to all of you guys that came. It was brilliant to see you all. The atmosphere, as you rightfully say, was amazing, and it was a great event. The first one for me, and I apologise to anyone that encountered my stress during that, including yourself, Dave. There was a moment of stress because obviously half the things that I thought I could work with didn't work, so I didn't take into account that our card machine that we usually pay for people that want to pay by card wouldn't work because it was in Australia and not England. I didn't take into account that I had no security on the door, so that people were going to try and get in, so I had to also double up as security. Then we had six different occasions where policemen turned up as well, including them all being there at the same time, and them asking me a load of questions about the event as well. And it was just a bit of carnage the first one, and it was fine for the second one because I knew what to expect and I could put things in place. Moreover, the first one was a little bit manic, so I do apologise to all of those ones that went to the first event, and I didn't really get a chance to speak to you much. I didn't even watch the event because I was doing the other stuff, so I do apologise to those that I didn't speak to, but hopefully on the second event against Spurs, before Spurs, I was able to chat to a few people a bit more. Crazily bumped into someone. I mean, I knew, to be fair, I knew he was going to be there, but bumped into a mate that I hadn't seen since I was 17 at school. Brilliant to catch up with him out there. He moved to Perth soon after we went to school, and I hadn't seen him in like, you know, 20 odd years or whatever. So amazing to catch up with him and randomly chatting. And I can't remember where he said he lives now, but I got chatting to a bloke, and he said, my name's Brookin. And I was like, oh, right, yeah. Well, as in surname Brookin. He was like, no, my first name's Brookin. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, I was named after Trevor Brookin. My mum and dad loved him so much, they called me Brookin. And then this light bulb moment happened in my head that I remember when I used to always go to South Woodford Sainsbury's to get my alcohol before a night out at like the Venue or Jumping Jacks or Romford, or you know, all of those various clubs that we used to go to back in the day. I always go to Sainsbury's because they were always more like lenient on the old ID and stuff. Yeah. And someone introduced me to a guy called Brookin, and he was a West Ham fan, and he was named after Trevor Brookin. So I had this light bulb moment, and I said to him, this is going to sound really random, but you didn't used to work in Sainsbury's in South Woodford, did you? And he was like, oh my God, yeah, how do you know? And I just told him the story. So that was quite a weird thing to bump into him in Australia and stuff. So yeah, but overall the first event was stressful for me, but on the whole, the two events, and then anyway, it doesn't really matter how much stress I had, as long as everyone enjoyed it, which it seemed like they did, then yeah, both were quite...
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Oh, and they did. Honestly, it was an outpouring of just like gratitude that West Ham had come to Perth, that we was there and put on the event, and everyone was buzzing, and the feedback's been fantastic. But, you know, I've got to say... and I have to say this, because I've already spoken about my new nickname being JD Qantas because of the flight over here, or over there, should I say. But we was also given two separate nicknames by Mad Dog. And that was because at the height of that stressful period during that first event, I've walked over to see how X is getting on. And he was in a bit of a fluster, rightfully so, because everything was going against him at that time. So he was a bit stressed. And out of nowhere, he said, will you do something? and I've got to be honest, I took exception to that. I probably took it too personally, really, because, you know, I won't bore everyone with what my responsibilities are in a day, but I think I was fulfilling them. And well, in the camp,
eating pizza and drinking with Joe Benjamin.
well, that's how it came across when you said, do something. You know, to a point where in the cab after, me, X, when the event finished, me, X and Mad Dog have jumped in the cab. And I brought this up, that I wasn't happy with what X said. And we had a little bit of a mini ding-dong where Mad Dog was refereeing this mini ding-dong. And that's what it was, a mini ding-dong. And on the back of that, he now calls X Grafter and me Bones. So lazy. So again, if you can refer to us like that, that's the story behind
it. I'm just so glad it's finally been acknowledged after these 2 years. It's taken me a while to get there, but
yeah.
I must admit, it makes me sound like a prick, but in the heat of the moment, I had people trying to bunk in to the event and refusing to pay the money. I had no one that people say that I want to pay to come in, but I didn't have anything to pay. I had no one to put the wristbands on, so I was counting people in and not having anyone to put the wristbands on because the promo girls, as lovely as they were, didn't turn up on time. And then I said to Dave, can you put the wristbands on? I think you put one on and then just wandered off again. And I was
like, well, I don't know about that. This is going into slanderous territory.
So when you came back and it was still fucking carnage, I meant not on the whole event, can you do something? I meant in that particular moment, can you do something? So yeah, I don't know
why you suddenly turn into Brian Blessed as well when I do the impression.
Why do I become so posh all of a sudden?
I don't know where that came from. To me at that time, that's how it sounded.
Oh, God, it was
so funny.
I think if anything, when I'm annoyed, I become more cockney. So it's when I'm at West Ham, if I'm annoyed, I'll be like, I think I swear and sound more cockney. So I'd imagine it's more like, will you fucking do something? Like, it sounds better being a posh sergeant major, to be fair.
Oh, so. God. Oh, it's so funny. It does tickle me that. But and obviously, it was on to the Perth Glory game. So it was nice to see some youngsters get a run out there, X, as well, which saw 6 goals. That wasn't a bad start to the tour, was it?
No, it was good. And I think some youngsters particularly played well. I thought Freddie Potts had a good tour, two games out there. I've seen Obama, who's really cemented his claims to be a first-team regular now. I thought Levi Lang didn't let himself down. So Lewis Sal was okay. So, yeah, they put in a shift. I mean, I thought Perth Glory were pretty poor, to be honest with you, so it's hard to really judge, you know, the standard, really. I mean, the way Perth played, I think it'd be fair to say they were like a League One, League Two team, so it's hard to judge entirely, but yeah, you can't complain with that. And I don't really pay too much attention to pre-season games, but if you want to decide whether it was a good thing or a bad thing, then yeah, it was definitely a good performance.
Yeah, I agree. And then before the second event, I've got to be honest, my heart absolutely sank because I'm in my hotel room and I've got a desk in my hotel room, which everything has just been thrown onto. But one of the things that I put there first and foremost that you know I knew would stay there is my passport. And I've gone to look for something else. I don't know what it was, but I happened to notice that my passport isn't there. It's gone. And my heart dropped because I knew that I haven't needed it since I've been in Australia. I literally haven't touched it. So if it isn't there, it must have been nicked by a member of staff. It must have been. It's the only logical explanation I can give. But just to appease myself before I go downstairs to reception and make a fuss and make wild accusations, I'm turning the whole room upside down. Coinciding that with also looking for additional huntsman spiders and snakes as well. So two birds, one stone.
And splashing some vodka that you might have spilt on the table.
Licking some up off the carpet, slurping it off the duvet, which is spilt from the previous night before.
Scratching at the glass to get a few grains left.
Injecting some JD into my eyeballs just for a lightener. I'm honestly all over my room, right? And I've resigned myself to the fact that it's been nicked and I'm pissed off about it. But I tell you what, I said to myself, take a few deep breaths. I said, go downstairs, be calm, and we'll see what the case is. Well, that lasted about 4 seconds because now I'm Googling how to get home without a passport. Do I need an embassy? You know, I'm getting shit on now because I'm thinking stuff.
How long do you live in Perth for before bitten by a huntsman spider?
That was search number two.
Yeah.
And I am really struggling to control my stress at this point. So I think, fuck it. Let's just get it done. If I go downstairs now and then I get the people in front of me to you know, who was on the line up to clean my room at any given time when it could have gone missing, so be it. So I've gone downstairs and I've tried to keep my composure. I said, so the girl at the desk, the duty manager, said, hello, love. I said, I've got a bit of a problem. I said, well, a massive problem. My passport's been stolen, right? So on reflection, not a case of my passport's missing. I think my passport might have been stolen. My passport has been stolen, right? So I'm throwing it out there straight away. It's non-negotiable. My passport's been stolen. And she went, oh, dear. I said, well, I have to say, I have great faith in my cleaning team here. I said, well, I'm sure you do. I said, but it doesn't change the fact that my passport's been nicked and I think one of your team done it. So she said, right, okay. She said, I'm going to call some of the duty staff now and we'll get together and have a meeting and we'll discuss certain times that your passport may have been taken or may have disappeared. I said, yeah, thank you. I'd appreciate that. So anyway, I got myself a drink to calm down, sat down because I was meeting X before the event. Said to Mad Dog, who was already there, I said, he said, you're all right? I said, no, not really, mate. I said, my passport's been nicked. I said, gutted. He said, really? I said, yeah, it's gone, mate. It's gone. It's definitely been nicked. Couldn't be anywhere else. So I'm stressing out now. I can see the duty manager's on the fucking phone. She's gathering a team. You can see she's stressing out about it. And then X has finally come down. And he said, morning. He said, are you all right? I said, no, not really, mate. I said, my passport's been nicked. And then, do you want to tell him what your response was?
I was like, no, mate. You said you're safe. And you were like, when you were like, what? And I was like, it's in your safe. And you were like, no, it's not. And I'm like, mate, I came to your room last night and I sat down with you. I saw it on the side and I said to you, look, let's put this in the safe because people might steal passports from hotel rooms. So I'd obviously planted that seed that that could happen. And you were like, oh, go on then, mate. We walked over to the safe. I showed you the safe. I said, right, mate, what code would you like for your safe? You picked your year of birth. We entered that into the safe. Job done. Bob's your uncle. Safe shut. And I said, there you go, mate. Will you remember the code? You were like, yeah. I was like, this is how you open it. Showed you it again. This is how you shut it. And I said, you might want to put some of your money and stuff in there as well. You're like, yeah, cool. I'll sort that out tomorrow. A whole 5-10 minutes of going through the process, but because JD Qantas was the knee deep in JD, then the memory had gone and there was no recollection of that ever happening.
Do you know what? It still isn't. I mean, even when you said that, it didn't even jog a memory. Like I didn't even know.
I didn't even think you were that drunk though, because I stayed in the room for about an hour. We were chatting and we had quite a decent chat. And yeah, I don't remember you. I mean, there was times where you did roll around the bed laughing a few times, quite hysterically. But I'm a funny guy when I get going, so I just thought that was normal. Yeah. I thought that obviously clearly more drunk than you.
Without a doubt. I mean, to be honest, I think I'm pretty good at concealing if I'm more drunk than I actually am. But I mean, so much so, I don't have a conversation.
The funny thing is, you hadn't even been out that night. That was the night you went to bed early because you didn't feel that well. So me and Mad Dog went out with a few people and had a really nice curry about with some people in a pub and stuff. And you went to bed early because you were going to have an early night.
I just went for an old school remedy. I thought, I don't feel too well, so maybe some vodka's going to sort it out. Never mind all this doctor bollocks and take some tablets and all this early night rubbish. I mean, who comes out and stuff like that? So, I can't remember the conversation. I didn't even know I had a fucking safe. So this has jogged nothing in my memory. So now I look like a right prick, don't I? Because I've got to go up to the duty manager and tell her, it's all right, I've got it, it's in my safe. I mean, you can imagine what she must have thought. The only thing I could do to try and save some face is I went over and I said, oh, hi there. I said, listen, I owe you a massive apology. I said, well, my friend does anyway. I said, because
such a prick. Your friend was being nice and considerate and looking out for you.
Because I said, he's, for some unknown reason, he's put the passport in my safe and not told me about
it. Because I thought that'd be such a wild thing to do. I know. This is going to stitch Dave up. Let's put his passport in his safe. Give him the login number that he knows is the number. But this will be right good bants, this.
Top quality bants.
Top quality bants. As if I would do that.
This is clearly what she thought, really. Yeah. She gave a little bit of a laugh as if to say, you bellend like that. So she said, all right, I'll call all the staff and call off the meeting. I'll have arranged for 10 minutes.
I'll cancel them, the police. They're on their way. The border control.
Exactly. Yeah, I'll retract those P45s I was going to give free to the staff in 5 minutes. Oh my god! But that was quite funny at the time. but the second event again was equally as special when we got there, knowing that I could also then fly home, knowing that my passport was safe. I had one moment though. I tell you, honestly, I'm such a fucking idiot sometimes because I was on stage at this second event doing the introduction, and I said how incredible it is to travel to the arse end of the world and receive so much love and support. But when I said that, there was quite a few boos that went up, and I thought, well, fucking, what's the matter with that?
Yeah.
I've always thought when you refer to something as the arse end of the world, for example, you're talking geographically, because obviously, you know, they're down under. It's a 17-hour flight. It is the arse end of the world for me to travel to. But actually, the definition of the arse end of the world is like a shithole.
Yeah.
Like, to say that, so I basically translated, you know, to come to a shithole like Perth. against so much other sports, so I had to correct myself on that.
What a way to start the event.
I know, exactly.
Well, now we're in this shithole that you're all up. Like, we can't wait to get home all together now. Yeah. Perth is a shithole. I want to go home.
That's it. So I realised what had happened and the cross thread of what it actually meant versus what I thought it meant. So I had to keep myself out of trouble there, which I did. And to be fair, I think people knew that I was talking about it in a geographical sense. After that happened, the event was absolutely brilliant. And another really good crowd, Richard Garcia, what a great guest. What a lovely fella as well, of course.
Yeah.
And then on to the Tottenham game. And it's always nice to beat them. But how we actually fucking beat them is anyone's guess, because it wasn't their finest performance, is it?
No, I mean, again, possession stats are embarrassing, and the fact they dominate it's embarrassing, but at the end of the day it's a results based business, and yep. As I always say, if West Ham do that for every game of the season but come out winners, I don't care. And to beat Tottenham, as you say, it's only a friendly, didn't really matter that much. All the fans were mixed between each other, you know, Tottenham sitting next to West Ham and stuff, which you'd obviously not get that in England. And And it was nice because obviously we were 2-0 up and it looked like we'd thrown it away, and they were getting a bit cocky at 2-2. And it's always nice to get the winner, particularly Scamacca scoring it, because I think a few goals for him in pre-season would do him the world of good. And it was a great experience to see us beat Tottenham out in Australia, and obviously the West Ham fans were loving it that were there. And life is there to make memories for, and this is definitely one of those memories that will stay with you for the rest of your life. You know, we've been very lucky, you and I, now to do an event in Vegas twice, and experience LA the second time we were there, and now do one in Australia. And you know, to be able to do that with just from supporting West Ham, which is obviously a massive passion of both of us, it's just crazy. And I don't think people in England, unless you've been to like watch a game in America or Australia or probably many other countries, realise how passionate these fans are about West Ham, because you know it's hard to think of someone being massively passionate when they don't get to go to many games, but that's just a complete wrong assumption, because these guys, you know, they get up at like 2-3 whatever times in the morning to watch their games, and they are literally obsessed. They know yes. everything. They watch whatever game it is. They are generally so interested, like, you know, they're so proud of West Ham and proud to be, I guess, in the minority in the sense of supporting West Ham in their country. It's because, you know, obviously the top six probably have the majority of the fans, so these supporters, their passion for West Ham is infectious, and it makes you feel really proud to be amongst them whilst they're experiencing West Ham. I mean, some of the guys I spoke to at the events had never had the opportunity to see West Ham live. So whilst they might have been friendly games, and to me and you, you know, we weren't that bothered about the games, because obviously we go to most home and away games that count for something. These guys were like, couldn't wait to see their team, and you know, it's amazing to have experienced that with them.
Yeah, the West Ham fans were unbelievable in that Tottenham game as well, by the way. And it's still a weird concept for me to be sitting in that stadium with a Tottenham fan three seats away. Do you know what I mean? And it's funny, because you even said to some of the coppers that came to the event, like, you do realise that West Ham and Tottenham don't get on, and there could be a bit of trouble here. And the copper said, didn't he? He said, not from Australians, mate. He said, you won't get that from us. He said, if anything, it would be from the British. But there wasn't any trouble, was there, to be fair? But
no.
Our fans were absolutely fantastic, really drowned out Tottenham, because there were so many Tottenham fans there. You didn't hear a peep out of them, really. But West Ham fans in Australia, I think, done the club proud, to be honest. But one poignant moment of the trip was our visit to the Dylan Tombidi statue, which I'm sure you'll agree was a special thing to do.
Yeah, amazing thing to do. You know, it's obviously everyone knows the story now, and it's a very, very sad one at that. So it's for us to be able to pay our respects to him and the family and the great work that his family and the organisation have done after his death to raise awareness for testicular cancer. It was brilliant for us to be able to go there and make, like say our bit with him, and to film that and so on. So yeah, I'm really glad that we did that, and really special moment, and God bless him and his family and all that they went through and all that they're achieving now. So yeah, it was special.
Yeah, well said, mate. And then, of course, it was the flight home. So, as you can imagine, I'm absolutely dreading it because, as I've said earlier on in the show, my two biggest problems is my height and the fact that when I'm at home, I can only sleep on my side. Now, I was sat next to this bird on the way home, 17-hour flight, right, who was actually a DJ called Astrid Fox. Lovely girl, mad as a box of frogs, but we were getting on well. And at about 4 o'clock in the morning, all the lights are off because people are sleeping and I'm beside myself trying to get some sleep. So I thought, fuck it, I'm going to turn over to my side. And when I've done that, she's also on her side facing me. And it was really awkward because when I moved into that position, my eyes are still open and she opened her eyes and we were about 4 inches away from each other. And all I could think to say, and I had to whisper it, and this was spontaneous, I had to whisper it because everyone else was asleep. I just said to her, let me know if this is too close. And I thought, oh, that's a bit rapey. That's a bit rapey. Like, what next? You know, blink twice if you want me to put my pants back on. You know what I mean? So I wasn't overly comfortable with that, to be honest.
The fact that you were sitting there naked didn't really help the messages, did it?
Yeah. And she sort of nodded at me like a confused child. And I thought, you know what? I'm not comfortable with her potentially not being comfortable with that really creepy, rapey moment. So I reverted to laying on my back and just got the odd power nap at best. But eventually we touched down the home soil and it was brilliant.
You also forgot to mention our other run-in with where we had to get security in the hotel as well.
Security in the hotel?
Oh, God, you're pretty drunk for this one as well, weren't you?
What's this? You're winding me up, aren't you?
No, where we went to check out. You were definitely sober for this one, where we went to check out and you realised that your hotel, when you went and checked out, the hotel bill was like ridiculously. Oh.
You know what? I'd forgotten about that. But yeah, do you want to tell the story?
No, you're better at stories than me, mate.
Well, so we come to check out, as X said, right? And there's a couple of things that make me laugh about this, but we've checked out and, you know, I haven't put anything on the room at all. And X hasn't put anything on his room. So we expected just to say, right, there's the keys. Brilliant. Job done. So she said, so it's just the $200 that you have to pay and then you're good to go. And X looked at me and I looked at him. And immediately, I know X so well, he's looked at me as if to say, how much fucking alcohol have you put on your room? Yeah, right? Yeah. And I said, mate, don't look at me. I said, I haven't put anything on my room. He said, you must have done. I said, I didn't, honestly. The night that I didn't go out because I wasn't feeling well and I eventually felt better, I got myself something to eat. I said, but I paid for that. I didn't put it on the room. He said, are you sure? I said, because, you know, if you look at the passport scenario here, you know, we don't want to look stupid. I said, are you absolutely sure? So I said, mate, I'm telling you, I haven't put anything on this room, not a penny. So they went to get the receipts. And they said, well, you've signed for it, Mr. Walker. It's in your name. I said, well, show me the signature. The signature wasn't mine, right? So I said, that's not my signature. I said, I always sign it with an initial rather than my name for a start. I said, I'm telling you, that's not my signature. Someone else has signed it and put it on my room. So again, they're looking concerned. And I bet at this point, I think, I can't fucking wait to get rid of these two. I said, right, okay, so maybe it's someone you know. I said, no, it can't have been. So I think you said, it wasn't Mad Dog, was it? So I said, no, it can't have been. Because you know, every time he's brought a drink over, I said, oh, thanks for that, Mad Dog. He said, that's all right.
And when he's brought over 15 drinks and made out as a freezer and got them himself. Yeah. Cheers. Well, Martin, yeah. Thanks,
yeah.
Mate. Thank you.
So, yeah, I remember saying it to him. Oh, cheers. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I walked over to him. I said, all stressed and flustered again. I said, Mad Dog. I said, just got a bill here. I said, and it's in my room. I said, I've got a signature and it's not my writing. I said, you haven't put anything in my room, have you? He said, yeah. I said, have you? He said, yeah. I said, well, like what? He said, well, all the drinks that we've had since you've been here. And I'm thinking, well, all the ones that I've thanked you for and told you that you didn't have to do that. Yeah. So again, towel between my fucking legs. I went to go up to reception and said, oh, actually, yeah, that is us. it was me, mate. Oh, sorry about that. Oh, Jesus Christ, mate, honestly. But it was just amazing. But highlights and lowlights, mate, what would you say? I mean, there's so much, I know.
No, it's very hard to pick highlights, to be honest with you, mate, because like you said, there's so many. Just the people out there. I mean, I think, you know, meeting Matt was a top one. You know, he was such a good bloke and really took us to some great places. And, you know, it's a massive thank you to him. I know he'll be listening to the show. You know, Theo and all his help, Simon and the other chaps we went out with, me and Martin for the curry and stuff, top fellas. Everyone we met, really, just meeting so many top people, seeing my old school friend, was a buzz. And you know, it's just just the people really for me, and the beautifulness of the country and the city and so on. So I think that's hard to put into specific things, but I would say those were the top things for me.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, all of it. I don't even know why I asked a question, because the whole trip collectively was a highlight, wasn't it? And there's two lowlights for me. One was seeing Mad Dog take a shit in a swamp, then wiping his ass with a handkerchief. The other one was Basketball Gate. And hopefully you'll show me a little bit of respect when I tell you that I've prepared a statement that I would like to read out in relation to basketball competition.
This is your chance to redeem your terrible sportsmanship now. So he's going to be interested to see the way this goes.
So if I could ask for a bit of silence, please, because this has been basically put together with the help and advice of a solicitor. And the statement says as follows. Hello, everyone.
He doesn't start statements like that, surely. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Well, no, the solicitor said, go for the personal touch, get people back on side. So.
you just turned up to the pub or something. This is an official statement.
Okay. Let me start that again. Hello, everyone. As you are aware, on Wednesday the 19th of July...
at approximately 4:30...
there was a competition that took place on a basketball court at Matt Muir's house in Perth, Australia. The rules of this competition were clearly outlined. The first to score wins. However... well, I've always played this game. And here it comes. However, the way I've always played this game is that if you score the winning basket, the opposition get one more chance to equalise as well. Hence my celebration when I scored my next shot. This is done to add some excitement and longevity to the competition, and these rules were also in place when I actually won the game off camera prior to what the Patreons saw.
You didn't win the game off camera.
Sorry, I would expect a little bit of respect. If
Martin Allen won that. Well, that's factually incorrect.
Can I just say that I've been advised not to discuss this outside of this statement, so I can't respond to any of what I would class as slanderous remarks from you.
Even if it's full of lies, I've just got to sit and listen.
Well, you know, it's your prerogative if you want to think that, but, you know, I've got a legal team that sat behind me whilst I wrote this, so, you know, jokes on you. He's throwing me off the fucking thread now. When I won the game in question, which you just disputed, I remember clearly offering X one more shot to take the game into another sudden death. He missed.
What was even in sudden death? Martin had already won it by then. This is slanderous.
I assumed the same rules would be applied to the actual competition that we had filmed. Hence my celebration when I scored that shot that should have taken it to sudden death. However, I had been told that the competition was done and I had lost the game. I want to say that this is now going to an official third party to review, and I am confident that justice will prevail in what has been a very stressful period for my family. I would also like to say that I am extremely disappointed in some of the responses I saw from patrons after that video. I have been subjected to comments such as, Walker is such a cheat, and Dave definitely cheats at Monopoly. Quite frankly, without knowing the facts, I'm deeply saddened by the relentless comments in support of X, and I look forward to the right decision being made by the neutral third party that has been appointed to clear my name. Thank you.
Who's that? Your wife? Your mum?
I will be no further comment on basketball gate. But honestly, jokes aside, honestly, it was the most incredible trip. We didn't stop laughing from start to finish. It was an experience that will live with us forever. And we have to thank Max for setting up the venue.
Yes.
We have to thank Robbie and Dave for their help in securing the venue and promoting this event. You were crucial to these events being a success. We have to thank Matt Muir, who took so much time out of his week to show us so much of Perth, a city that he's very proud of, even if 70% of it is now covered in Mad Dog's piss. We really enjoyed your company, Matt. Thanks for your hospitality, mate. And finally, thank you to everyone that came to both events. I mean, the love and support you gave us genuinely was special. It really was. X, I'm sure to your absolute horror, we can now confirm that the West Ham Way Premier League Predictions competition is back and registrations are now being accepted. X, for those that don't know, how do they sign up for the new season?
Well, I've got to put out a statement regarding the Predictions League.
Yeah.
Despite the rules clearly being laid out at the start of the Predictions League, I lost. So therefore, I'm going to get in touch with a solicitor to try and bend the rules a little bit and change what actually happened and forget the fact that I finished last place. I'm going to just somehow try and get out of it. So, yeah, that's my official statement.
Correct me if I'm wrong, X, but I think there's a potential conflict of interest here that you might be referencing a case that I can't talk about in basketball. So I think if we can just, you know...
Can I just say one more thing? One more thing for basketball. I played the Hustler superbly. I did it again, mate. And we've done this before when we went bowling. I'm not going to go into too details, yeah. But the first time we played bowling together, I deliberately gutter balled like for most of like the first round. Everyone's like, X is shit. The midget can't lift the ball. He can't even see the pins. They're so far away. And then I thought, right, I'll show you. Second round, I got about 6 strikes in a row. And everyone was like, oh, you lucky, but I just walked away the Hustler basketball, yeah. Deliberately fluffing my shots in the first game, missing the board, blah blah blah. It's no coincidence. First shot, boom, straight in, walked off, dropped
you
down.
You can believe that if you want, people. Well, we're talking about a one-shot competition, and I hate to bring an element of luck into play here, but I'm not sure about that. See, I think.
All basketball players, yeah, generally are like 6 foot and above at a minimum, yeah. Usually averaging maybe 6'7", 6'8". I stand at a whopping 5'7". You are over 6'3". Mm. You had everything suited to you. If this
That's
was a limbo,
bookie's favourite.
Yeah, exactly. If this was a limbo competition, then obviously the favourite would be me. But when it comes to a basketball competition, it should have been yours. I did it one handed. Job done. Sweet as a nut.
Absolutely.
Anyway, on to the predictions.
But much like squash, no doubt you'll refuse outright to fucking play basketball with me ever again.
Well, people can see why. They see the reaction to your loss. It's a scary experience.
Hang on a minute. Hang on, Mr. Smash Every Fucking Squash Racket I've ever owned. Yeah,
that can
make me laugh.
No, that's because I'm so near the ground that every time I swing it, it hits the floor. That's why. It's not anger. It's just height disadvantage again. Predictions League's back. Any previous players would have been sent an email just reminding you how to... get back involved and stuff with your previous login. Those of you that are new to the game, there was a post on Patreon, there's been posts on Twitter. We'll do another post on Patreon again to remind you it is £20 to sign up. However, that £20 does enable us to give some decent prizes, £250 to the winner, plus season ticket to the pre-match events, plus signed shirt, blah 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 blah. Second place is about, I think it was 100, and I've got a list of the prizes which I can publish as well. And it's just, even if you don't win, it's fun for the banter taking on your mates and so on. Obviously, I've lost, is it 3 years in a row now?
You I don't wish. Remember. 4.
Is it 4? I was debating in my head if it was 3 or 4. So I have lost 4 years in a row. I still get an element of fun from it. So, those of you that are a bit better at it, you'll probably enjoy it even more. So, yeah, definitely sign up.
Yeah, it's great competition, to be fair. And there you have it. So hopefully we'll have as many playing in the new season, if not more. So those are details on how to do it. Okay, let's see what's going on with the Amers, shall we?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.